So I like to begin every sermon with some kind of hook. But for some reason this week, nothing clicked. When I ran a few ideas by my wife, Kate, she looked at me and then started singing the opening number from the off-Broadway show, A New Brain. The song starts with the protagonist, Gordon Schwinn, sitting at his piano. He's trying to write a song about the season of spring for a children's television show starring a frog. And nothing he writes actually works. So that's me today. But instead of a piano, I've got my manuscript. And instead of a frog, we have John the Baptist, who is busy in the wilderness singing his own kind of song. I don't have a hook, but I do have a question. Why do the Pharisees and Sadducees come to John? Now, for the past week, that's the question that's gnawed at me, because they didn't have to come. Both the Pharisees and Sadducees, these two sects within Judaism, were firm in who they were and what they believed. The Sadducees were tied to the temple in Jerusalem, God's holy house, and were focused on the lineage of priests that went back to Aaron, Moses' brother. For the Sadducees, scripture ended with the Torah, the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. The Pharisees, however, were focused on the law, the commandments and ordinances and prophecies and words from God that were recorded in the Torah, the historical books, and the prophets. Both groups were among several that existed within Judaism, and these groups disagreed, fought, and argued with each other constantly. They each had their own flavor of Judaism. They confessed and shared and lived out their idea of what it meant to be followers of God, and most were firm in their beliefs. But some of them heard about this man in the wilderness, wearing camel's hair and eating bugs. And they left their homes, cities, and villages to see what John is doing. This was more than just a quick stroll down the road to hear what the new preacher in town was saying. Some had to travel days to see him. They needed blankets and tents, food and supplies just to reach the River Jordan. Anyone coming to see John needed to plan their excursion, get friends and family to feed their animals, tend their crops, and take care of their businesses while they were away. So it wasn't easy to see John, and I doubt they went to him one by one. It would be safer to travel in pairs or in groups, along the dangerous roadways where bandits or a wild animal or a messed up and a medical emergency could mean life or death. So as these Pharisees and Sadducees gathered together to make this pilgrimage to John, I wonder what they talked about. I wonder if they knew a little of what John was already saying. Did they talk about Elijah, the old prophet who did not die? Did they talk about the possibility of a Messiah, God's promised one who will return to save God's people? Did they speak out loud these verses from Isaiah that Matthew quotes? Did someone, while they sat around their campfire, say that one word? Prepare. Because the kicker is, and this is something that the Pharisees and Sadducees and even John didn't really know at this point, the kicker is that when John meets Jesus right after this scene, Jesus is already 30 years old. When John is at the River Jordan calling people snakes and describing Jesus as someone who will harvest people with a winnowing fork, God's son has already been hanging out in Galilee, living in the town of Nazareth with his mother, father, and his whole family. We don't know exactly what Jesus was up to this whole time, because for 30 years we only get one story. A story when he's 12 and visits the temple during Passover. So I wonder, as the Pharisees and Sadducees made their way to John, did they ever imagine that God was already at work? I mean, I know they believed and trusted that God was active in the world. They knew their prayers were heard, and the sacrifices they made in the temple were something that God saw and witnessed. They didn't feel or think or believe that they were far from God. But would these travelers suspect that God, for the last 30 years, had more than just a plan, but that God had already put something in place that was brewing? I know when I usually teach and share the story about John the Baptist, I try to explain how John prepared the way for Jesus. But today, at least, I'm drawn to how Jesus was already busy in the world before John baptized his first person. We don't know what Jesus did during his first 30 years, but we know he lived. We know he had a mother, father, and brothers. We know he ate and drank and slept and lived in a town, the son of a carpenter, surrounded by people who got to know him and surrounded by people he got to know. Jesus didn't just come down from heaven fully grown. Instead, when Jesus' very public ministry began, Jesus had already been busy living. While the world turned, while people lived their lives, Jesus was already walking the earth. Jesus was already here. People just didn't really see it yet. But our ability to see God at work doesn't mean God isn't already busy at work. We don't know exactly why the Pharisees and Sadducees came to John, but I guess some went to John expecting to see God at work. But God was already at work. Jesus was coming up right behind them, bringing with him a full life, a life full of what makes up our lives, full of connections and relationships, full of sorrow and joy, and letting us know that even in unexpected places, even in quiet moments, and even in places far from us that we cannot see, God is working, God is present, and Jesus is making himself known. Our invitation, our call, is to see the world in that way. To look around with a slightly different perspective, a perspective that knows that in the places we don't expect, and in the places we can't see, God is already there. God is already working. God is already making a difference. By seeing the world in a slightly new way, a way that is more patient, more kind, maybe a tad less envious or arrogant or boastful or rude, the world becomes less a wilderness and more a place to see how God's love is being made real. The Pharisees and Sadducees went into the wilderness not knowing that Jesus was already at work just down the road. Our invitation is to see God wherever God is and opt in to a love that even today, even in the midst of conflict, of pain, of hate and suffering, a love that is still making itself fully known. Amen.